We have a quorum with all members present.
All right, Member Rutherford, will you read our board goals, please?
Manuska Sioux City Borough School District vision, mission, beliefs, values, goals, and objectives. The Mat-Sioux Borough School District will be a model of excellence in teaching, learning, and engaging all students. Our mission, Mat-Sioux Borough School District prepares students for success. Our beliefs, we believe that all students can and want to learn. Success breeds success. The needs and best interests of students drive all decisions. Stakeholders' participation is crucial to student success. Our core values are stewardship, accountability, empathy, quality, integrity, efficiency, respect, collaboration, and commitment. Our goals. We will improve student successes, achievement, and performance by focusing on their career and college readiness. We will increase the graduation rate. Our schools will welcome families and community members in the education of our youth. And we will create and maintain a safe and healthy environment for our students and staff. Accountability is measured by quarterly metrics and timelines.
Thank you. We'd like to ask Tobin Hunshauer from PJMS to go ahead and open us in the flag salute.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I am turning the gavel over now to Dr. Paramo.
I'll refrain from hitting the gavel even once, although I'd love to. At this time, as per Alaska Statute 1412090 and School Board Policy 9224, school board members, before taking office, shall take and sign the following oath. Would our newly elected board members please join me at the flag?
Please repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Ole Larson.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Alaska.
And the Constitution.
And that I will honestly, faithfully, and impartially, discharge my duties as school board member to the best of my ability. Congratulations. Thank you. We now have a full board of 7 members. According to Alaska Statute 1414070 and School Board Policy 9120, within 7 days after the certification of the results of a regular school election, which happened yesterday at our assembly meeting, the school board shall meet and elect one of its members as president, one of its members as vice president, and one of its members as clerk. At this point in time, we will do that. The nominations for president of the Matanuska-Susitna Borough School Board are now open. Please know that a second is not required, but sometimes one or more members will second nominations to indicate endorsement. No one board member can nominate more than one person for a given office. If there is more than one nomination for any school board office, a vote will be taken. In the event that 3 people or more are nominated for any school board office and no one individual has a majority of 4 or more votes, a brief recess will be taken, after which time another vote will be taken. If a majority vote is not cast for any nomination after the third vote, The meeting will be recessed until the next regular school board meeting. Each nominee will have the choice to state why that particular office is desired. At this time, board members, we are going to take open nominations for president of the Mat-Su Borough School District School Board.
I nominate Susan Poucher for school board president.
I second that nomination.
I second.
Board members, is there any other nominations for board president? As there are no other nominations, we will take a vote for Susan Poucher for board president. Tiffany Scott.
Yes.
Ray Michelson.
Yes.
Sarah Welton.
Yes.
Susan Poucher.
Yes.
Ole Larson.
Yes.
Deborah Rutherford.
Yes.
Donna Dearman.
Yes.
Carly Williams.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, the school board president for the 2014-2015 school year is Susan Poucher. Madam President, the gavel is yours.
And I'm going to pound it. All right, so we're opening nominations for the vice president of Matanuska Susitna Borough School District. I'm opening those now.
I move Deborah Rutherford for vice president.
All right, we have one for Deborah Rutherford.
I move Ole Larson for vice president.
All right, so there are two nominations. Is there any other? All right, so we will take a voice vote, and I'm starting at this end. Member Dearman. I'm sorry. I guess we should do it a different way, huh? All right, so what I will do is call the different names. You may place one vote. And so those who are voting for Member Rutherford, no, we didn't plan on writing it down. We'd need separate ballots and stuff. Does anyone oppose a by hand vote? Are there any board members who opposes a by hand vote? Member Welton?
In the past, we've always done it a secret ballot when there's been two. And we've changed back and forth several times.
And I don't think it's written in policy.
There's no standard rules. It just seems that it might be better to do this as a secret ballot for me.
Are there any other? Okay. All right, why don't we go ahead with a ballot. Everybody has stickies in front of them. If you will write the person you would like to be vice president of the school board down, and we will pass them to Stacy and take a short recess while she counts. Go ahead. The votes have been counted, and Member Ole Larson is the new vice president of the school board. I'm now taking nominations for the clerk position of the school board.
I nominate Sarah Welton for clerk.
Thank you. Member Welton has been nominated for clerk. Is there any other nominations? All right, seeing no other nominations, Member Welton is our clerk. So, all right. I'm sorry. Oh, I guess we could vote. I'm sorry. Let's do that. Member Scott?
Yes.
Member Michelson?
Yes.
Member Welton?
Yes.
Member Larson?
Yes.
Member Rutherford?
Yes.
Member Dearman?
Yes.
An advisory vote from Member Williams?
Yes.
And I too vote yes. Welcome, Member Welton, in a job you've had for a while. All right. So that moves us on to approval of the agenda. Will someone move the agenda?
I move to approve the agenda.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any objection? Seeing no objection, the agenda moves. That leaves us on persons to be heard on non-agenda items. Member Clerk, will you read the rules?
Public comment pertaining to education on non-agenda items is limited to 3 minutes per meeting, per person per meeting. There will be up to 1 hour for persons to be heard. Public comment on agenda items will be taken at the time the item is considered. This is your opportunity to be heard, and the board will not respond to your comments. As per Board Policy 1312, individuals testifying may not discuss complaints against individual employees. Specifically under items, the item persons to be heard on non-agenda items, the following guidelines apply. The speaker states his or her name for the record. The speaker is limited to 3 minutes per meeting. The speaker is limited to non-agenda items. Agenda items will be open for public comment as they appear on the agenda. The speaker's comment should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-age children. The speaker is limited to comments of a general nature, positive or negative, which may not be attributed to any specific individual. Issues involving concerns specific to any single individual should be submitted in writing and given to the board clerk to be resolved. The issue may be determined to be appropriate for persons to be heard, or may be handled in executive session, or may be routed through a more appropriate complaint process. No disturbance or willful interruption of any board meeting shall be permitted. Persistence by an individual or group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate the privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove disruptive individuals and order the room cleared if necessary. This is not a question and answer time. Speakers may be referred to the superintendent or designee or take the issue under advisement. And we will have our first half hour, and later in the meeting is the second half hour. And on our list, we have first Nancy Podgorski.
Good evening. I'm Nancy Podgorski. I'm an English teacher at Colony High School. I know from making a well-reasoned argument against the seven-period day 2 years ago that my words tonight will not change anything, so my goal is just to make you feel uncomfortable. By not offering teachers in the MATSU a fair contract, you are contributing to what has historically been discrimination against women. I'm going to read part of a blog by Dana Boyd, a researcher at Microsoft and an assistant professor at NYU. I was too tired after the seven-period day to write my own speech, and she expressed exactly what I've been thinking lately. She writes, "This week I found myself thinking about the role of teaching and nursing in society and the relationship between feminism and those professions. When my mother was entering the professional world, there were pretty much three options for women: nurse, teacher, secretary. When barriers were eradicated, women left these professions to seek jobs in other fields that were better respected and better paid. The problem is what has happened since then. I certainly don't want to go back to the dark ages when women had no choices. But while we've opened up doors for women, we haven't addressed how sexism framed nursing and teaching in ways that are causing us tremendous headaches in society today. Teachers are underpaid and undervalued because we took women's work for granted. When teaching stopped being women's work, we didn't rework our thinking about the teaching profession. As a society, we still have little respect for teachers and nurses, and we pay them abysmally. This is deeply rooted in the sexism of the past, but the ripple effects today are costly. Rather than addressing the issue head-on and finding market solutions that value teachers, we have created a cultural expectation of altruistic teachers. Good teachers are almost always discussed as saints who give up everything for the good of the children. But shouldn't this also be discussed as market failure? What are the costs of not incentivizing potentially amazing teachers to enter the profession? I blame society as a whole for not acknowledging what was implicitly devalued and making strides to rework these professions. Even when nursing and teaching were women's work, they were challenging professions that contributed greatly to society. I'm glad that women are not limited to just these jobs today, but we need to value what has historically been considered women's work. I agree with Ms. Boyd completely. By not offering us a fair contract, you are devaluing what we do and contributing to the sexism that is still prevalent in our society, particularly with regard to the teaching profession. Teaching is not women's work anymore, and we deserve a cost of living raise at the very least. Show us some respect and stop perpetuating a culture of discrimination against this profession.
Next, we have Helen Foster.
Hello, my name is Helen Foster. I appreciate this opportunity to express my concerns to you tonight. It's been my privilege to be teaching great students mathematics at Colony High School for the last 15 years when my husband and I moved to Alaska. I've been teaching since 1971. I've taught not only high school level, but junior college and technical college level. As a retiring teacher this year, I want to express my concern for the lack of respect the school district is showing to its teachers by not negotiating a fair contract. Over the last several years, we've been asked to take on more and more responsibilities, such as the seventh period day. I spend 2 to 3 hours at school at the end of the school day and take home another couple of hours with me. The Mat-Su School District has the highest class sizes and student loads in Alaska, and yet this is my first experience in Alaska without working without a contract. My concern is for the teaching profession, and especially for the profession within our district. We need to focus on quality. Teachers are looking to other school districts within our state for employment because of the seven period day and are leaving our state where there is a better retirement system. I know for a fact that this district lost an excellent math teacher at Colony High School this year because of these issues. We need a fair contract. Using Anchorage data, inflation was 3.1% last year and was averaged 2.7% a year over the past decade. If you're committed to quality and retaining and attracting quality teachers, you simply can't afford to keep having your teachers falling further and further behind. Your teachers deserve respect. Again, this retiring teacher thanks you for the time to listen, and I hope that you respect the work that we do every day by immediately negotiating a fair contract. The teaching profession and the future of the profession depends on it. I thank you for your time.
Next, we have Lindsay Payne.
My name is Lindsay Payne, and I live at 3055 Charming Valley Loop, and I go to Mokotons Elementary with my little brother, Justice Payne. Exhibit A. This is currently where my bus stops drops us off. And this is my house, and this is another family's house that also goes on a bus. And this is where we want the bus to drop us off. Currently, we have to walk 0.4 miles every day. And think of in the winter when it's cold and dark and there's moon. And half of the time, the bus drives around the loop anyway, and the other half they do a 3-point turn, which is kind of scary. And we already asked for them to change this, but Due to policy, they said no. Please consider these changes, and thank you for your time.
Next, we have Bob Williams.
Hi, my name is Bob Williams, born and raised in Palmer, a teacher here at Colony High School. Delighted to be here. And as I look at the board, I see many friends, people I know, people I see in the grocery store, and want to thank you. Thank you for your service. And actually, I've enjoyed coming here before. When I was Matsu Teacher of the Year, I got to come here and have some cake and punch. And as I remember it, it tasted very good. And then as Alaska 2009 Teacher of the Year, came some more cake and punch. And also for the Presidential Award in Excellence in Mathematics Teaching. Came again. So I'm sort of looking for cake and punch, but we don't have it today. But that's what it reminds me when I come here. I'm here to talk about not having a contract. I've taught for more than 20 years in this district, and my colleagues and I are working currently without a contract. And this is the first time in 20 years I've been teaching in October without a contract. And when I came here before to receive awards, I always felt appreciated and respected, but I want to stress the importance of appreciating and respecting all of our teachers in our district that do work hard and do everything they can for children on a daily basis. And I know it's not like I can just dream up and say, hey, here's $2 million and why don't you settle a contract right now? But I, as a math teacher, I am interested in data, and I do look at things. And I noticed on the negotiation update that's featured out front, and I noticed on the website, I saw some things, some numbers that caused concerns. And one of them is when it talked about the contract, the current salaries for 2015, 2016, 2017, they seem to be going up 1.8% per year under the current contract. That means if nothing happened, they'd be going up 1.8%. And that appears to be looking at steps and lanes of teachers move forward. And I just want to point out that's really inaccurate and misleading, because it's showing a 1.8% increase, and it's not factoring in the retirements. If you have 43 teachers at a bachelor's plus 45, or a master's and 45 retire, and then you hire just a bachelor's teacher, 43 teachers is going to cover that. It's going to be a wash. And when we look at other data from other districts, I'm sure when we look at our district, we're going to see that. So what the great thing is, you don't just have a couple $1 million to look at. That difference that's on your chart right there that is kind of padded is $4.89 million. So you kind of have $4.89 million that you thought was going away because it's covered when people retire. So I just want to stress the importance of settling a contract now, and I look forward to coming back here and having cake and punch in the future. Thank you for your service, and have a great day.
Next, we have Tim Walters.
Good evening, board members. My name is Tim Walters. I am president of the Matsu Education Association, and if I start coughing, I hope you pause the clock for me, please. I know back in the old boardroom at Palmer High, the back of your nameplates always said, "What's best for kids?" I hope it's still up there somewhere, because what's best for kids is having their teachers respected and supported by the district. Much of the frustration you see and hear in the district, in the schools really, isn't all about the contract, although honestly right now that's a big, big part of it. The tension you see, hear, and feel, it's about teachers in this district not being supported and not feeling valued. The people in our schools that have the greatest impact on student learning do not feel valued and respected. And that's just the reality right now, and that's an important thing to think about. Teachers carry with them every day that thought when they enter the classroom. And I've often said before that our working conditions are the learning conditions for our students. And it's true. It really is. Think about Maslow's hierarchy that we all learned about. Each of us, you and I, carry with us every day our own experiences in our daily routine, and it shapes our interactions with others, good or bad. And yes, we are professionals, but let's not pretend things like not feeling supported and not feeling valued doesn't matter, because it does. And it's those experiences with the district that teachers have right now that matter so much to them and the students they interact with every day. Teachers need a fair, reasonable, and respectful contract. They need to know their work, their dedication, and their profession are valued. Teachers need to feel supported. Attacks on tenure, RIF language, epidemic contractual violations does not make them feel the district supports them. Give us time to set up our classrooms. Give us time in the day to teach kids and build relationships with them. We love doing it. It's our career and our passion. We don't need canned programs telling us how to do it. We don't need glitzy advertising or blurbs on Pandora. We know how to teach, and we know how to do it well. Let us get back to focusing on the kids. Help us feel supported, not just in words, but in actions. We need a fair and reasonable contract, and it's in your power to make it happen. Please do so. Thank you.
Next, we have Mike Coons.
My name is Mike Coons, and you must be doing something right, because usually when the other side's losing the argument, they drop the sexist card or the race card. The proposals for salary, I'm not even comfortable with the board's proposal, much less the demands of the union. We know that cuts will be coming from the legislature, and since HHS and education are 70% of the operating budget, education dollars will be harder and harder to find. So what student programs will be cut? Question: what is the average teacher's salary plus sick leave, vacation, cost of health care insurance, and life insurance now? I have asked this question to members. No response. I do want to know. Longevity proposal. I take it it is on the top of the union negotiated pay increases. Not for that at all, much less the huge increases the unions want. Again, what education cuts? National board certification proposal. If a teacher coming in for a new hire has additional certifications that substantially make that teacher above others and an added value, have no problem hiring at a higher pay. I would think that a teacher who is added to their education would be eligible for a promotion to a better job that uses the additional talent. Just to pay for the certification is meaningless to me. Signing bonuses, again, where's the money and what for such a nice to do item? Zero out all years. Health insurance. Save $21 to $23 million and do what many companies are doing now. Drop it. What with the golden parachute, Obamacare, dramatic increases in health care insurance premiums, the cost is 23% of the cost of salary expenditures. I might, and I say might, it's a stretch, agree to cut spending gradually for insurance contributions versus cutting their legs off from underneath them. Say 25% per year at the end of 4 years, insurance is on them. As to life insurance, what about the minimal cost of quality term life insurance? Why the heck is the school board paying for this? Is this even portable for the teacher? You'd be doing them a favor by having them pay it, then if they leave, they don't have to get new insurance at higher premiums. Leave? It seems to me that teachers skip plenty of time off now. As the proposal on Veterans Day, close the schools. Should have been that way to begin with anyway. Co-curricular? Have no idea what that even is. With the lower dollars, doesn't seem all that important. Hold the line and do not burden property owners with higher taxes to appease an out-of-control NEA. Thank you.
There's no one else on the list.
Is there any member of the public who would like to come forward and speak? All right, seeing no one, we will move on to the next part of our meeting, and that is administrative reports. Dr. Paramo.
Madam President, in this time, there are no administrative reports.
All right, so we have the borough and city reports. I see two people here from Wasilla. Mayor Cottle, if you please.
Bert Cottle, City of Wasilla. I just want to thank everybody for allowing me to miss the last couple of meetings. I kind of been busy looking for a job. So hopefully I'm okay for at least the first 3 years, and then we'll see. But anyway, I just want to express our dedication to making sure that we have somebody here for all your meetings. You represent, you know, our biggest need and our biggest asset, which is 18,000 plus kids. So to us, the City of Wasilla, we will have somebody here at all your meetings to represent the administration, whether it's myself or the new deputy administrator coming on board next week. So I just want to tell you thanks, and good or bad, you're stuck with me for the next 3 years. So thank you.
Is there anyone from the borough or from City of Palmer? see no one, I will move ahead with Superintendent. However, why don't we start with the Student Advisory Board report? Member Williams.
On October 15th at Brochelle High School, the Student Advisory Board met. We had a full meeting, which included full board discussions about what we want to see in our health classes, since we have two students who are sitting on the health curriculum writing team. They had lots of comments and discussions, and it was a really robust debate, and the students felt very satisfied with the outcome. We also discussed a new charter school proposal, which gave me lots of comments to bring to our school board meeting last week. We passed a resolution on having a personal finance class be required for graduation, and we will be sending that to the Alaska Association of Student Governments conference, which is next week. We also had Melissa Batts speak to us about recycling in the district and how the administration and the Student Advisory Board can work together to get that program in place. We gladly hosted Member Larson, Member Rutherford, and Member Dearman. Next week, the student government at Currituck High School is hosting the statewide Alaska Association of Student Governments Fall Conference. And on November 18th, the Student Advisory Board will be meeting at PJMS, of which we have three representatives in the audience right now. And that meeting will take place at 9 a.m., and I gladly invite all members to come join us. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Williams. Dr. Paramo.
Thank you, Madam President. First of all, I just wanted to make a brief update that I do have the budget and enrollment update that I will make, but just items around the district. We are very proud to be sending 25 of our Alaska Native and Science Engineering students into the Alaska Federation of Natives tomorrow. And they'll be loading a bus early in the morning and representing our school district as well as NSEP program at AFN. So that's pretty exciting for us to be invited. And Mr. Volpe is going to assist me and move through these slides. And I'm going to share the enrollment update. And this, as far as enrollment, I just want to let you know that as of this update is as of October 20th, which was Monday. The 20-day enrollment period will end this Friday. And just so those in the audience and listening understand, the revenue from schools is generated through an average daily membership of enrollment, a mean of that, over 20 days. And so what I'm going to give to you, if you notice decimal points, certainly, of course, we don't have partial students in reality, but due to the metrics that are involved in calculating it, for instance, every student who is at our Matsu Central School homeschool only receives 0.9 or 9/10 of an FTE. Therefore, we will have partial students as well as part-time students in our count. So the preliminary 16-day average, again, as of Monday, October 20th, for enrolled students is 17,774.04 or 4/100, and that does include pre-K. This is a count of the FTE or full-time equivalents. Right under that, the number over 18,000 is actually the students that we serve. So one is the average of the FTE because of all those metrics, and the other one is those students who come to us daily. And that represents a true student count. We do have 448 pre-K students with active IEPs are about 250 of those. Widening the net is 100 and federal programs is another 80. Those that are grant funded are not included in that FTE. So if we received a grant for these students, we do not also claim them in our average daily membership. Moving on, we have the count average thus far versus the prior year enrollment so that you know where we sit. And the difference from last year to this year at this point is 292.04 students. The count versus projected enrollment
is the difference, rather, is 180. And that's because we did project a little over 100 students for which we would grow. However, we are more than what we projected at 180 more. And we shared in the past, we saw this coming. It did generate over $1 million in revenue, and we hired staff to take those places. We had 10 whole teachers, 8 of which we released in May and June to schools. The other 2 were released this in August. Plus, we hired 6 additional FTE to the district for neighborhood schools, for charter schools. Remember, the money goes directly to charter schools, but charter schools as well hired additional staffing for their growth. And so about a little over 500,000 of the funds of the 1.2 million went to charter schools, for which then charter schools hired staffing. I wanted to share with you that how October is very lovely for budgeting in school districts in this next slide. The MATSU, we are currently, just so you know, in 3 different budget cycles. We are finishing up the annual audit for FY14, which was last year's school year. So they came and checked the books, and they will give us a report, and then the board will be asked to certify that report. At the time that the board certifies the report, we will be presenting shortly thereafter a new budget to certify for this year. Because all the changes that I talked about the growth in students and the hiring of additional teachers, will be voted on, because that is not in the budget for which the board voted on in June. Again, remember, a budget is a dynamic document. As we grow, so does the budget. So we are finishing up our audit from last year. We are currently in FY15, which is this school year. We are going through the student count this October. Again, it ends Friday. We are going to bring to you a winter revision to let you know once we have our count and the state says, yes, for this school year, this is how many kids you have. We will give you the funds for which you predicted last June. Once they do that, we're going to ask that the board certify or vote on and approve that winter revision of those additional funds. As throughout the year, different changes will happen in our school district. I bet we will hire new staff as well after the new year. As students move in and out, especially our students who have additional needs, we are always hiring staff. We'll ask for a year-end revision, knowing how we went through the year, and then we will finish that budget July 1st and start anew. Currently, and just last week, last Friday, I believe, we had a very large demographics meeting here at the district. And so we are in our student count, but for next year's budget, which would be FY16, we barely even started this school year, but the first week of November, our count, our projected enrollment is due for next year to create the budget at the state for which they would let the districts know this is how much funds you will get next year. So we'll be doing a preliminary budget in January for next school year. You will approve the budget in April to send to the assembly. And the borough then will vote on theirs in May. We have waited in the past for the state to make adjustments to the revenue for which we'll receive for student count from the state. Again, they do fund us 75% of our total budget. However, if you remember last year, the state came out with a 3-year plan. The majority of the funds were up front in the first year, but we do have an increase next year, although it's smaller than the one we saw for FY15 this current year, and we have some information about the next year. So really our supposals, if you will, or our assumptions, rather we call them, for next year's budget will mainly fall in those things for which we ask for grants, which is some of our special programs, such as the middle college, as well as our assembly. If you recall, our assembly did not increase the amount of funds that the district receives, and it is about 25% of our funds, a little over $50 million comes from local government. This year, from last year, they did not increase that amount. However, we operated previously in a fund balance situation with the end of the year remaining funds splitting to the assembly 50-50. Last fall, we were able to change that to 75-25. But this year, the assembly, knowing that they would not give us an increase, they did let us keep our entire fund balance, which is audited and will show up as soon as we show you those audited numbers with the new revision, the budget revision. We look this year to request additional funds from our assembly. We are operating on the same assembly funding and local funding that we did last year, as you saw, with 280 additional students. And so it's imperative that as our community grows and people move here and buy homes and participate in our local schools, that we also have a request to our borough accordingly. And that is, in a nutshell, the three budgets for which October is always a pleasure for our budgeting department. So we have some budget iterations, or should we call them reiterations, for which we wanted to share the with the board. In as I had been referencing a preliminary budget, I wanted you to see the differences as they came along. So we have three columns, and we had an initial for 2014-2015 school year, which is this school year. We call that FY15, and we had a preliminary budget, and then you adopted a budget in April. And that budget in April that we sent to the borough included the use of unassigned fund balance. And you can take a look at that. So as we got closer to our numbers, looked at the State Foundation, some of the things we thought, we at the time knew that what was coming from the state would not cover our expenses. So we decreased our teaching staff as well as increased funds for the unassigned fund balance to make the bottom line make a balanced budget. By law, we must present a balanced budget to the assembly. Now, we had that $2.4 million of unassigned fund balance. Luckily, we were able to keep that unassigned fund balance and add to it after last school year so that when the state came through with additional funds. So we had assumed a 3% increase from the borough. We did take that out as the borough did not give us a 3% increase, for which we did place in our budget. So there are some things in a budget for which you predict that do not come to fruition and other things that you predict that do. We did get additional state funding, which increased that, as well as energy relief. So if you notice under state energy relief funds, those increased for us, but the borough support decreased. Okay, so we additionally, which was a very nice thing, the health insurance did not have that increase for which we predicted. The long-term forecast, we had asked, there was a question about that from a board member, and I was, if Luke Folp could help me with that part of the budget, please.
Thank you, Dr. Promo, Madam President, members of the school board. We are just going to, as Dr. Promo mentioned, briefly revisit the long-term forecast. Dr. Promo just went over the iterations that occurred before we had a beginning budget, before the board adopted the budget. We had three different iterations. Just goes to show the assumptions that are in place and how those have to be continually updated and revised as new information comes to us. But for the time being, we've developed a long-term forecast that spans FY15 through FY18. So as we close out FY14, we're in the current year of FY15, and the current year is very much a forecast as well, because those actual expenditures and revenues have not hit our ledger yet. So a lot of it is based on what we anticipate in terms of spending and receiving in revenue. That being said, the long-term forecast, some of the assumptions that we built in was after this current year, we anticipate 3% increases for FY 16, 17, and 18. So that's built into the revenue forecast. Again, that's a very big assumption, just knowing the local politics and what goes into developing our budget and the borough appropriation year after year. Federal revenue maintains with zero increase or decrease. And then where we get into the state funding, we have a little bit more certainty with House Bill 278 in place. We know that one-time funds will continue through FY17, and then the assumption is that those will go away. We're able to forecast what those one-time monies are pretty accurately, we feel, because the state's made it clear that those will be those funds, the total appropriation, will be divvied up based on adjusted average daily membership statewide. Student safety and security grant ends after FY14. Again, that's we're fairly certain that there's not going to be a continuation of that in FY16, 17, or 18. And then with the foundation formula specifically, we've through House Bill 278, the correspondence factor increased to 0.9. The BSA increases in each of FY16, 15, 16, and 17. Those are built into the formula and are projected enrollment is used to come up with the state foundation formula total. And then lastly, our intensive count, we're assuming that that maintains with no increase in FY16, 15, 16, 17, or 18, and it remains at 384. Yes.
I'm sorry. Can I stop you for just a minute?
Yes,
the BSA increase of 150, what is that percentage? I mean, we hear all the time, you know, we want 1.5%, we want this. What's the percentage that we got it as an increase?
Let me do the math real quick here for you.
Sorry, math question.